Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
6:39. This is John Williams in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back on Monday or Tuesday,
tomorrow.
Rather.
Yes.
Today
tomorrow.
Is Monday. Tomorrow will be Tuesday. This is not my normal routine.
What time did you go to bed?
I did not. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now on WGN. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Oh, I think
Stand
you
by.
Have to put him on.
Oh, I have to put him on.
Yes.
Hi, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing good, John. Don't worry about it. You'll have this all down by 10 in the morning. You'll be fine.
That's so true. And then back to 1 to 3 tomorrow afternoon. I'll tell you what, getting up at 8 a.m., Doc, is a much easier lifestyle than getting up at whatever I got up at this morning.
Oh, I bet. How many times did you hit that snooze?
Once, because yep. I wasn't sleeping anyway. So I thought, oh, heck, it's 4 o'clock. Let's just get up. By the way, there's probably studies that say something about longevity or health of people that get up at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like,
I don't want to know.
Is there an ideal time for a healthy life to wake up in the morning? Or is it just how many hours of sleep you get and it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And we've talked about this numerous times, the importance of sleep and sleep medicine and the new study of it. But really, it does come down to the quantity of sleep and the quality of sleep. So, you know, the guy that gets up at 4 in the morning, as long as he's getting good sleep for 6, 7, 8 hours, that's okay. The guy that's going to sleep at midnight and getting up at 4 to go to work, that is not healthy at all.
Yeah. People are at springtime now thinking about living healthier lifestyles, right? They want to get out. They want to exercise. They want to do more stuff like that. You've been thinking about that too, haven't you?
You know, absolutely. You know, you start to see the temperature is 70 degrees today, you know, the first time in a while. And we do. We have this itch to get back outside and start exercising and start looking at, boy, we might have put on a couple extra pounds during the winter. And it's time to kind of shed those as we start to get out and get more mobile.
You sent a statistic to Mary and I that is funny to me because I was talking to the people from Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, one of our fine sponsors here.
Yep.
And she said, if you want to lose weight, you can think about all the exercise you want to do in the world. You will never lose weight if you don't diet. We've always heard diet and exercise. She says, it's mostly diet. I don't mean to misrepresent or overstate her case there. But she was saying, here's how many calories some food delivers. Here's how much exercise it takes to burn those off. And if you think about it, just don't have the cheeseburger or whatever, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Seattle Sutton, great. Seattle Sutton very much on portion control and still gives you a good balanced diet. But when we talk about diets, yeah, you look at the fast foods, and we'll talk about those in a second. But when we look at diet, what we really should be looking at, diet is not a thing. Diet is a way of life. So if you want to get on a diet, make sure it's something that's sustainable. You know, people look at the keto diet and other diets, and it's like, wait, can you sustain that forever? Because that's what you should be doing, is teaching your body the right things to eat that are still enjoyable, portion control, exercise, and you'll not only lose weight, but better for your heart, better for your digestive system, better for you to decrease your chances of diabetes. So it's not something that we should do because I want to lose 10 pounds. It should be something that's sustainable throughout our lives.
And there's a reason why the phrase is, you are what you eat. You know, there's that's a big trait with all my female friends that discuss weight loss and wanting to, you know, do things, but they don't want to address anything they're consuming. And I think the goal, Doc Most, instead of being on a diet or like a certain amount of pounds, is you should aim to feel better. And feeling better, moving more, weight loss comes along with that just naturally, you know, as Dave can attest to, the better food you put in yourself, the better you feel overall anyway.
Mary, you're right, you're spot on there. Because the other people that go and they eat that fast food because they like it, because it's loaded with salt and fat, and that not only do they say doing bad, they often feel guilty after they have. So they feel bad physically, and they also feel bad mentally because of that.
I wonder if people don't know how bad they feel when they're carrying too much weight. Two people I know, Lou Manfredini and my brother, have both lost 15, 20 pounds lately. Now, Steve's lost a lot of weight lately.
Steve
too.
Has, yeah.
And when you talk to these people, like, you know, you see somebody and you see them every day, but then all of a sudden it dawns on you, oh my gosh, you've lost weight. I did that with Cochran the other day.
Right.
I said, holy cow, what happened? What are the jeans he was wearing look so different.
I know.
Anyway, all three of them, when you talk to them about it, the very first thing they say is what? I feel so much better.
Right.
You know?
And like Steve Cochran has basically stopped eating pizza. Nothing against pizza, but he did not know the effect it was having on him, making him want to feel sedentary and not move because it weighs you down, you know, and you feel like a slug after consuming all that salty cheese. And it's contagious almost.
Oh, it definitely is.
Right?
Yep. But and Cochran, you know, Cochran's one of his biggest goals was, hey, I want to get my knees taken care of.
Right.
And we used to just do knee replacements on anybody, to be honest with you. And now science has looked at it and said, no, wait a second. You have to have a BMI below 40. You know, you can't smoke. We look at all these risk factors because we're not just going to slap a new knee in somebody. So Cochran had some incentive there. And it's amazing when we sit there and go, wait a second, had we not been carrying all this weight before, would our knees even need to be replaced? So we're in this society now of obesity, which is impacting our backs, our knees, our overall health, the increase in diabetes, the increase in high blood pressure. So, Mary, like you said, what we take in is what we're actually looking out at as well.
And Steve jokes about it when people ask him, and he goes, you know, I did a crazy little thing where I moved more and I ate less.
Yeah, I know.
Which is like,
yeah. What he said
but that's
to me
very
too.
Difficult to manage. One of the things you put in the notes that'll be posted after our segment, Doc, is about the whole intermittent fasting and do you need to eat breakfast? Do you not need to eat breakfast? Like where that falls?
It's actually fascinating. We always used to think, oh, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. How many times have people said that? Well, a study that just came out in the British Medical Journal last month came out to talk about, wait a second, let's be careful here about setting that tone, because they have found that individuals who do eat breakfast eat more calories through the day, and we say breakfast is a very important meal, but a lot of the breakfasts that people eat are very carb-heavy, right? Pancakes, bagels, things like that. If you're going to eat breakfast, make sure it's more protein-based, so eggs and those, and yogurt is okay as well. But this study showed by you get increased number of calories and actually you can gain weight. So the intermittent fasting is something that's extremely popular right now, and it's probably a great way to at least consider how we should eat. So it decreases actually eating some, let's say, from 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock, 16-hour fast. If you think about what you would eat after 9 o'clock and in the morning and through the early part of the day, it's often carb-heavy stuff, sugary foods, salty foods. So it's eliminating those as well as teaching your body to start to burn off some of the fat.
Because you only want to eat in the window, right? Is it an 8-hour
exactly.
window? Is that what it is?
Yep. Some people do an 8-hour window. Some people do a 10-hour window. But it's just to eat within that window and then make your body use the energy that you've already consumed during those other hours.
So do you recommend like setting a deadline, like I will not eat any food after 8 p.m.? Or Pete McMurray does that here. Mm-hmm. I saw him the other day. I go, I don't know how he got onto it, but he said he never eats. I think it was 8
p.m. I'll tell you how you got onto it. All he does is talk about what he eats and what he doesn't eat. So that's how you got onto it.
It's funny that I asked him what time it was, and he said, John, I stop eating after 8 o'clock. I said, I didn't ask you that, Pete. It is 6:47. By the way, speaking of breakfast, let's take a break here, come back in just a minute. In your notes to us, you also put one solitary thing that jumped out at me that should be included in your breakfast. What is the food that you could include in your breakfast in just a minute? WGN. This is John Williams in for Steve Cochran. I'll go back to 6:58. Wait, what have you? Oh, gosh.
Two. It's two, John. 6:52.
He's just saying things.
I was talking to Mary about a commercial that's going to run at 6:58, and
people all over right. sudden. What?
6:58? We're late.
Right.
Get in the car. Hurry. 6:52. Now it's 6:53. Soon it'll be 6:54. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most. All right, so Doc, there's one thing that you had in your kind of little profile for us this morning, and that was that if you are going to eat a healthy breakfast, and you said, you know, eat breakfast, but don't think that pancakes and bacon are a good idea, you said add flax seed to your breakfast. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Flaxseed is something that people probably go, what is flaxseed? You know, people that use it know about it, but it's one of those superfoods that really flies under the radar. But it's great to add to a smoothie. It's great to add to your breakfast cereal. You can add it to your oatmeal. It's got you know, antioxidants in it. It has polyunsaturated fats, omega-3s. It has fiber in it. It's really good for you. You know, and decreases your cholesterol level. We know we all could use that a little bit. So it decreases your risk of heart disease, decreases your risk of colon cancer.
Does it have a taste? Flaxseed?
No, it really doesn't. It's kind of a
flaxy?
Bland. It's a, yeah.
It's kind of flaxy.
It's there, though. You're getting a nod of approval from Dave Bennett right now.
Yeah. No, my wife puts it in my smoothies.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But you can't taste it.
You can't taste it, but you can taste something, if that makes sense.
It's got like a texture,
yes.
Kind
of.
You know what I've wondered, too, is what if you put something really healthy on with something that's not healthy?
Do they cancel each other out?
Or does the healthy stuff, it's still healthy, right? So, like, if you're going to have pancakes, at least put flaxseed on your pancakes.
Correct.
Or mix it in the batter.
It
doesn't subtract from the healthiness of the flaxseed, right?
No, not at all. And it might offset it a little bit, but, you know, Dave, with your smoothies, you know, if you want to hit the home run, have the blueberry smoothie with flaxseed, and then you're really hitting it big time.
Yeah, what's your fantasy smoothie, Doc?
No, I think, you know,
And by that I mean, what's a really good healthy smoothie? Yeah,
that's a better way to ask. I mean, really, if you want the biggest bang for your buck from a health view, it would be blueberry with flaxseed.
And some kale or spinach?
You know, Dave has tried to push kale on me. I've had flash fried kale, which I think is pretty good. I'm still not the kale guy.
Well,
like
I don't
Dave
put it
is.
In my smoothies either, Doc.
No,
so, I mean,
no,
I think we agree on that.
Yeah. I love spinach, though, in a smoothie. I think the one thing, Joe, where people need to watch with smoothies is with the fruit, that's a lot of calories, you know, or potentially can be a lot of calories.
No, it is. It is a lot of calories. So if you know what's in it, that's great because you're getting the fiber, you're getting some of the other benefits, but really know how much sugar is in those because a lot of the fruits do have a lot of sugar and a lot of calories. So it's a very good point.
And the one thing you said about fiber, I think that gets overlooked because protein-based diets seem to be all the rage with, you know, a lifestyle change and diet. People do not get enough fiber.
Not even close. And, you know, we look at colon cancer and colon cancer rates here, and we've talked, you know, just a couple weeks ago about the increase in colon cancer in younger individuals. It's because a lot of our diets are so low in fiber. You know, so even people that think they're eating properly should still probably take a fiber supplement. And they come in different forms. You can get it in liquid. You can put it in your smoothie, actually, you know, the Metamucil. If you want, you can get gummy bears that are high in fiber. But
seriously,
we really should, for our digestive health, make sure we increase our fiber.
My wife buys the double fiber bread.
Yeah.
It's healthier, but boy, it really makes you yearn for a white bread peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know. Doesn't that sound like heaven?
It requires a lot more chewing, the double fiber, I know. Like,
but that makes it, is that significantly healthier when we do that, Doc?
Absolutely. A lot healthier. White bread should really essentially be banned, to be honest with you. We should be eating high-fiber breads. You're still going to get some of the carbs there, but at least you're going to get some of the health benefits from the fiber, where white bread is just, I mean, I hate to say it, it's just bad.
Yeah.
And really doesn't add much from a nutritional point of view.
I've come to think of it as a donut in a different shape. You know, it's delicious and sweet and chewy, but it's not really the same thing.
But it tastes good with a grilled cheese.
Oh, man. Oh, man. With some tomato soup on the side.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's one of my favorite lunches.
Doc, one of the things in your notes is you brought up the benefits of garlic, and I thought it was funny because you talked about how some people don't like the smell. And I know with my husband and I, if we're to dinner and we're going to order something, we'll agree that we're both going to have the garlic, just so that way we don't have one offender.
Right.
Correct.
Is that you? That might be me. I'm not sure. We both had garlic. Garlic and onions, good things to add, right, Doc?
Absolutely. You know, again, decrease the risk of colon cancer with them. Those are good antioxidant. Those are great foods that we probably don't eat enough of. Like Mary said, a lot of people stay both away from onions and garlic just because of the odor, when it actually we find people that have eaten them and eat them regularly have almost an 80% decrease in the rate of colon cancer.
It's good to talk to you.
I mean, do you hear that? That's
what's
a
that?
Huge stat. That
do that
decrease.
Again.
What was the decrease?
80%.
80%.
79% chance lower risk of colon cancer for those that have onions and garlic regularly in their diet.
I mean, how can you not incorporate that?
I'm going to do the Brenda rule, though, or the rule with my wife that you and your husband do. You know, we're both going to eat garlic if we're going to eat. Actually, we do eat garlic and onions a lot. Brenda's always putting that stuff in there, but I don't know that we make it a regular habit, yeah, like he's making it sound. Yeah, let's
decide to do that. I have a very sensitive nose, so we have to decide things together like this. So.
But the good thing about it is people that have food with onion and garlic, you know what they decrease their use of? Salt. The food already has flavor to it, so they don't have to add salt. So you're decreasing your sodium, which again, then that actually helps your heart health as well.
It's nice to hear your voice on the radio. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Doc.
And it's Masters Week, Doc.
I know. So. I feel right, bad. Yeah. I'm not good at Masters talk like everybody else in the room, and certainly Steve is. Do you have anything important to say about... do you have a prediction, or are you going to be there, Kevin?
I wish. You know, the Masters is a great time, fun. I was fortunate, 5 years ago to caddy in the par 3 tournament at the Masters, and it was one of the highlights of my life, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Thursday's the day. Okay, Doc, we'll visit with you, or I'll listen to you, because Steve will visit with you next week.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
Yeah, have a good day.